This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I am Meera Sivasodhi. In our Health and Living segment, Dr. Harjit Singh, consultant, orthopedic surgeon with us. We have three articles we're going to go through today. One is we're going to be talking about being a sportsman in your golden years. We're going to be speaking about joint injuries in younger age and how that could possibly lead to osteoarthritis, and glucosamine supplements coming into question as to whether or not they are effective as far as knee pain is concerned. Welcome to sure, Dr. Harjit. How are you today?
I'm perfect. Fine. Traffic was very good coming in today.
Okay, great. You know, we read about these older people running marathons, doing all sorts of things at such an old age. And it puts so much pressure on the older generation. Honestly, it puts pressure on me when I read stuff like this to think about whether or not I can be running a marathon at 70 or 75. Is that really the norm, though?
Yeah, if you look at it, I think it's very true that it puts a great pressure on the younger population
really
to perform
at
those ages. But I think that that's usually not the norm. I think as we age, there are changes in the body which reduces our capacity to function athletically at the highest level, so to speak. Changes in healing, changes in the capacity to correct injury, the wear and tear of the body parts, and the general mental outlook. Now, if you have an older athlete which is doing very, very well, I think it's an investment that he has made from young, middle age, and this person is also having the mental capacity to keep going. And he is mindful, or she is mindful, that they tailor the activities that they do and the targets that they set for themselves are achievable. I mean, if you tell me that he's running a marathon, well, very, very good. But I'm sure he's trained for it. He keeps to his pace and time, and he doesn't create a situation where he would injure his or herself.
Okay.
So I think probably not the norm, but there are people doing this.
Okay. And I have a friend actually who started doing this at 45. And
45 is extremely young.
Yes, I know it is extremely young, but into his 50s now. He's a triathlete.
Yes.
Is that possible?
No, definitely.
Having not been a sports person in before.
I think if you say the term sports person, I think he probably would have been sporty to a certain extent and then probably reduced his sporting activities over a period of time due to possibly work, disinterest or some other reasons, maybe marriage, children coming into the picture and his other commitments.
Okay.
And then he decides that at the age of 44, 43...
Midlife crisis hits.
No, we don't call it that. normally, it's a conscious decision, probably a health scare. One of the reasons that I've seen it happening, or he's just decided that, you know, I don't like the way I feel and the way I look, and I think exercise will help me. He gets good advice, starts off slow, builds up, finds that his body can take it. He's conditioned his body well, and now he's 50 plus and he's doing well. I think that's the possible norm. That's how it usually happens. Now, based on what you want to do, you would push the limits and your body will signal whether you can take those limits. So, there will come a time where the body will tell him that, hey, you know what, I ache more now, and he will probably be comfortable with that and stop at that. Or he'll say, no, that's not good enough for me. Then he would come to correct or modify those limitations to take him further as much as he can go.
And that differs from the younger athlete?
I think that differs from person to person. There is a physicality to all this, okay? How your body is tailored, how you heal. But there's also the mental part of it, the want to do it, and the ability to accept what you cannot do.
Okay, so it's all about the psychology of it.
Yeah, I think it's a lot of it is psychology.
Do you think it's safe or even healthy for older athletes to participate in competitive sports? And the reason I ask you is because last month, the BBC published an article about the European Masters Athletics Championships that was held in Denmark. And it was a European sports event for athletes up to 90 years old. I mean, the photos of men and women in the 80s sprinting and throwing discs was simply extraordinary. I mean, I was embarrassed to watch it.
Yeah, I think in as you reach those ages, okay, your targets and your goals definitely differ. I think the thrill to compete is always a human trait. Okay, we want to see whether we can do better than someone else. But I think at that age, the competition is within themselves. They just want to challenge themselves. And I am sure if you are going to be able to do these, compete at that age, you would have honed your body, you know the limitations of your body, and you have always worked within those limitations. If you do not do that, you will never be able to comfortably compete at those ages, and you would not have a safe situation. I'm sure even the organizers of these kind of events ensure that the events are done in a safe manner, and there are modifications in the weight distance that they actually take part in.
Okay, what are common injuries amongst the older people?
I think if you look at comparing them to the young, the same pattern of injury possibly happens. That means if you're going to twist something, you will twist something both ways. But I guess with the changes in flexibility of the body parts and the so-called wear and tear of the joints, overuse injuries are more common. So they do have to have a longer exercise and rest cycle. And we have to be mindful of the development of, a more brittle bone, osteoporosis, so to speak, the senile osteoporosis occurring as you age. So, of course, if they fall, there is a higher chance of fractures at the hip or, the wrist compared to a younger population.
Okay, and that would be a little bit more difficult to deal with?
Yeah, definitely. That would be a bit more difficult. But if you look at it this way, if you are sporty and athletic, even at an older age, you tend to have better balance. And if you are sporty, you tend to pick up skills of the safe way to fall. So that itself balances out the risk of a bad fall.
Okay. So any particular area of the musculoskeletal system that's most vulnerable to the older person?
I think every part is vulnerable. You have the tendons where they insert to the bones, developing some inflammation due to stiffness. And those create quite a bit of overuse injury. The bones are brittle, I just mentioned that, and yep, those can get injured. But generally, if you keep to your limits, you're going to be fine.
What about supplements? Does the older athlete need supplements, or does the older athlete have to focus a lot more on sports nutrition?
I think if you're taking a balanced diet, so to speak, things are naturally okay. A lot of people speak of supplements like glucosamine, chondroitin, but those are not rocket science in the sense. If you look at the literature, it's very clouded on what they actually do. Glucosamine and chondroitin is often prescribed for osteoarthritis. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the literature, they say, yes, it doesn't modify the disease process. Yes, okay. Most papers say that you get a little bit of benefit on your pain scores, but whether this is better than a placebo or not, it's not very clear. Most orthopedic societies don't recommend them or recommend them with caution.
Why?
You see, these are, for a recommendation to be strongly put forth, it has to be no doubt that it works. Okay, so if you have literature which says that, okay, in certain studies it helps pain scores in maybe moderate osteoarthritis, not the mild kind, so you can put forth a recommendation, but you put a caution saying that you have to discuss this with the patient. It's not like giving you a painkiller for pain, which will definitely, in studies, reduce your pain. So this is more supplement-based.
Okay, but will we all not inevitably suffer some form of osteoarthritis now, later on in life?
Yeah, the thing about osteoarthritis, it's actually, now we think of it as a multifaceted disease. We used to simply just say that it's degenerative, you're going to get it as you get older. But now we know that it's a combination of micro trauma to the joint, maybe due to injury or overuse. So we break that down to the post-traumatic osteoarthritis.
What does that mean, post-traumatic osteoarthritis?
Okay, if you have an, simply put, if you have an injury to the joint, say I'm 27, 28, and I tear my meniscus, okay? And we know that injuries to the meniscus do increase the chance of developing wear and tear in that joint compared to the baseline, regardless of what you do to the joint.
Mm-hmm.
Now, even if you treat that meniscus injury appropriately, you do bring down the chances of developing symptomatic arthritis, but possibly if you take an X-ray, you will see some wear and tear. So there comes the situation where you have radiographic, a picture showing osteoarthritis, but you're fine otherwise, comparing to the uninjured joint. So if you look at post-traumatic osteoarthritis, okay, when you get an injury to a joint, say the knee, whether it's the ligament or the meniscus, a ligament injury may result in the joint being unstable in function, and that wears off the joint a little bit faster. So we do know. So that's one set. And this is the arthritis that will occur in the younger people. Now, the one conventionally put forth as osteoarthritis is the one that occurs as we age.
Age, okay.
That's cumulative damage to the joint, not one big knock, but overuse, coupled with a sedentary lifestyle. So the overloading to the joint is a bit more. Added on if you are not appropriate weight. So there are many, many factors, including the genetics. But everyone will latch on to genetics saying that, oh, you know, I'm born to get osteoarthritis. But there's many, many other things that you can modify. And I think we always need to look at that.
Okay. Osteoarthritis is a degenerative joint disease that occurs when protective cartilage on the ends of the bone and often surface of the bone themselves wear down. And it sort of causes pain, stiffness, instability and disability. Would you... Is that correct?
Yeah.
Is it just confined to the bones and the surface of the bones?
Yeah, I think it's not purely degenerative. Yeah, we look at it now as a triangle of micro injury, lack of function of the joint, and loss of homeostasis. So it's predominantly the problem of the cartilage and the subchondral bone, the bone beneath the cartilage.
Okay.
The changes that occur to the joint not only include pain, it also includes some amount of stiffness because the whole envelope of the joint changes.
Okay, so it's a little bit
more complex. But yeah, if you look at it simply, it's a joint disease causing pain, worsening as we go older.
Okay, all right then. We'll come back and continue this discussion on sportsmen in golden years. We're going to be talking about glucosamine again, as well as post-traumatic osteoarthritis. There are more studies to show that joint injuries in your younger age could lead to post-traumatic osteoarthritis. On The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon and welcome back. I'm Meera Sivasudhi. Dr. Harjit Singh, consultant orthopedic surgeon in the studio with us. We're going through a couple of articles which just come out over the last 2 weeks or so on developments in, our musculoskeletal system and what really matters to us. I mean, one of which is a European sports event that was held for athletes up to 90 years old, which sort of sparked this interest to have this conversation about men and women doing sports still, you know, such a ripe old age. As Dr. Harjit has said, it's not really, the norm. It's good to know it's not the norm. It puts a lot of pressure on people like us to think that we have to be running marathons at the age of 70 or 75 or maybe even older. But as we go into being an aging population, we are going to see more and more people doing sports well into the golden years, isn't it, Dr. Andrew?
Yeah, and I think that's very important. Forget about, you know, the simple thing of being active. We know that if you have disease conditions such as hypertension and diabetes, exercise helps better control of these situations, and it helps other than your dietary modifications, other than, you know, it protects the heart, it also helps control. So I think that if you look at the programs targeted, they no longer target only the teenagers, they target the older population, because we know that with an aging population, you have these non-communicable diseases such as hypertension, diabetes, your cholesterol and such. And we know exercise helps all this. Now, you don't have to compete athletically, but if you regularly exercise, then you're going to have health benefits. If you exercise in a team sport, you have interaction with your peers. So, you know, older folk, there are some who suffer from depression, loneliness. Exercise and sports removes all this. So there's a lot more than just what meets the eye.
Mm-hmm. And I suppose to back that up is the 75, the oldest and longest Harvard adult study that was carried out to show that what really keeps people happy in their older age is really good social interaction and not money. It's not money at all. So if you're thinking it's money, it's not. It's good social interaction.
Okay. You said it three times. You're convincing yourself today.
I am very convinced, Dr. Ajit. You're paying attention to how many times I'm actually saying it. We're all very aware that we need to start moving now, right? We're all worried about how we're all sedentary and all of that. So you have more and more younger people going out and doing exercise and running marathons and doing all sorts of things. But then there's also this article that in front of me that says joint injuries in your younger age could lead to post-traumatic osteoarthritis. So now as all of us start working out younger, we're going to, you know, injure our joints much younger. Then how to exercise till 90?
No, I think you see, this is the typical doom and gloom perspective. Okay, we should exercise, not today, yesterday. Okay, now we should start appropriately. At a younger age, of course, the body accepts a bit of knocks, so to speak. But if you learn or if you gain interest to exercise at a younger age, rest assured, most of the time you will do it the proper way. You will understand that it's not only about the exercise, it's about the warm-up, the warm-down, the intensity, the rest periods in between, and all this keeps exercise safe. And you gain the benefits. You get an optimal weight. Immediately, your eating habits improve because you have made a positive health decision, so you're healthier. With an optimal weight, you don't load your joints as much during daily activity, and you tend to then, you are able to increase the intensity of your exercise safely. What that brings about, better stress relief, better control of any developing diseases, and it allows you to continue exercising into an older age in a very comfortable manner. Now, if we look at a paper saying that, oh, you know, if you get injured at a younger age, you know, your chances of developing post-traumatic arthritis, which will give you a joint pain, is higher, then you are doomed from the word go. You don't exercise, you have a stressful job, you eat a lot of fast food, you are going to develop something which will kill you much earlier. So sometimes I think exercise is the key facet to develop a very comfortable and productive life.
Okay.
Wow, I'm very philosophical.
I know you are. I mean, really. I mean, I'm sure you see a ton of young people coming in with injuries.
Yes,
with
I
joint
do.
Injuries.
Yes,
right?
I do.
So where have they gone wrong?
Maybe they're unlucky. It's just like you can look left, you can look right while crossing the road and you still get knocked down by the motorbike. So I think most of the time, they haven't really gone wrong. Maybe they went off track slightly and we bring them back. And if they do get injured, we fix them because we know that we correct that problem, they are able to exercise and continue being happy. So it's about what you gain and what you lose.
Mm-hmm. So I suppose there's a lot of emphasis on the need for rehab, proper healing, you know, strengthening of the structures. And if you don't get that joint properly attended to, then you possibly might open up yourself post-traumatic osteoarthritis.
I laugh every time someone, it's not too good laughing at your patients. No, when my patients come and ask, hey, how did this happen? It's futsal. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I say, hey, you know what? Futsal, I see quite a bit of these kind of injuries at futsal. But do you understand how many people are playing futsal? There's such a large group. I only see the ones who get injured.
But you're only one orthopedic surgeon.
The ones who don't are out there happily running around and being healthy. So the percentage of injury is small. The percentage of big injury is even smaller. So most of the time, it's an overuse injury. And most injuries are caused by possibly inappropriate footwear. Okay. A poor warm-up, not something that was going to happen. You know, it's totally preventable. And no matter what you do, if you are using inappropriate attire, you have a higher chance of injury. So I think that this thing about post-traumatic osteoarthritis, reducing, you know, the likelihood of someone exercising and advising someone, hey, you know, you go slow on your body, is really dangerous.
Okay, so conclusion.
Exercise,
but can we also say that arthritis is no longer considered a disease that affects only the elderly?
Yes. You look at it this way. The word arthritis means inflammation of the joint. Now, if you look at it, osteoarthritis is one facet. You do have disease conditions like psoriasis, rheumatoid arthritis, which cause increased inflammation. And these also cause arthritis. You can have trauma causing arthritis. So it's a symptom of the joint of multiple reasons. So we are supposed to manage it based on that.
Okay, so your advice is just exercise.
Safely.
Okay, warm up. I mean, what you're saying is actually not rocket science, but lazy lah.
Warm
up is so not happening.
Yeah, because injuries don't happen often. So you tend, when it happens, then you say, I should have warmed up. But, you know, you do it, you reduce, not eliminate completely, but you reduce the chance of getting a big injury.
Okay. So going back to the elderly, who do they see when they have an injury? Do they see an orthopedic surgeon? Do they see a geriatrician, for an example?
I think they see anyone who is accessible to them at that point. Okay, it can be a sports medicine physician. It can be a general practitioner. It can be a therapist. It can be an orthopedic surgeon. The idea is to identify the problem, okay, which I think most of the time is easy. It is to understand the differences of the joint complex in an older patient than the younger one. The third part is to treat appropriately. And the fourth part is preventive strategies for it not to happen again, which is doable by any one doctor.
Have you ever sat with an older person to say, you know what, you really have to stop, you can't go on exercising?
I think if you tell someone who loves to exercise that they need to stop, they don't come and see you anymore, they go and look for somebody who will tell them, you don't have to stop, but you have to modify. So I think it's just managing expectations and tapering the expectations to keep it safe.
Okay. There's also another study that was published where they say if people are active when they're young, they're better equipped to take part in sports in the older years. Sounds like a no-brainer again, but how much is the fact that you've been exercising at a younger age going to work to your advantage as opposed to somebody who didn't?
It works big time. It works big time. I think that if you are healthy in the young, it's easier to be healthy as you grow older, because exercising safely demands a group of habits, the warm-up, making sure you wear the appropriate footwear, picking up the skill well, having good skills. And if you already have those when you are young, it's not something that you need to invest a lot of time in. You can just go ahead and continue.
Okay, so always a benefit. So start moving. Should athletes follow a different training regime from younger athletes? The older
ones? I think they have to be mindful on the intensity which they take part in, the intensity at which they start at, and the rest play cycle has to be a little bit more comfortable.
Okay, and you just need to listen to your body?
Oh, always.
Always, okay.
Or doctor. Or wife.
Just going back to glucosamine again, I mean, I'm still not convinced. I mean, so many people are on glucosamine as prevention measures for, you know, joint pain and stuff like that. I mean, I find that this study says it's been found to have no more effect than a dummy pill.
Yeah, so look at it this way. I don't think it's preventive. Okay, if you have osteoarthritis, the studies say that it may help the pain symptom. Okay, and a lot of patients come because of pain. Now, you give them glucosamine, whether it works like a placebo or not, it works and it alleviates their pain. The idea being, it's not only treating the pain. You want to get the pain to go away because you want him to exercise. So the homeostasis of the functional capacity of the joint increases. And we know with exercises, even symptoms of osteoarthritis are manageable. So you get them active back again. So regardless whether it's a placebo effect, if it works, it works. I think that's the message that I probably, you know, if you look at the literature, it tends to confuse you. You go patient by patient, you counsel them well, and then you start
talking. Okay, a lot to do with the psychology as well, I suppose. Mm. Glucosamine is said to be natural and safe, but are there side effects?
It is a carbohydrate, a amino carbohydrate. So sometimes we are mindful if your sugar control is a little bit on the not so good part, we do caution it a bit.
Okay. So, anything else that you want to add on as far as glucosamine is concerned? I mean, is it beneficial for pain at the end of the day?
So, the thing is this. I think there are a lot of formulations of glucosamine. You go to a pharmacy, you can see a lot. Many companies produce them. And so, the absorption of each is possibly different. So, you can't just look at a study and compare it that this is the brand that I'm using and, you know, therefore this is better, that is better. So, discuss it with your doctor and then come to a middle ground and decide whether it works for you.
Okay, your message. I mean, we've discussed, sportsmen, sportswomen in their golden years. We've discussed how joint injuries in your younger age could possibly lead to post-traumatic osteoarthritis. Yeah. And of course, glucosamine supplements sort of being questioned as to whether or not it helps with knee and hip arthritis.
I think the health benefits of exercise is probably needs no more discussion. From all ages, young, teenage, adulthood, older, and as you get older and older, I think exercise is going to be helpful and gives you more joy done appropriately. So I think the most important message is please exercise, but exercise safe.
Thank you very much for joining us. Dr. Harjit Singh, consultant orthopedic surgeon on The Bigger Picture BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.